the Top 5 at 5 on the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis. Brought to you by Builder Supply Outlet. True outlet prices every day. Now home of the Edge Kitchen and Bath Showroom.
It's the Top 5 on the Rokan Show. Let's go!
Oh, and look what I have in my hot little hand.
What?
My suntanned little hand.
I know, it's really nice how the team is all suntanned coming back from Mexico. I'm wearing white. Violetta's wearing white.
I don't need to wear white. I'm so tan.
On my tan field.
This is not the point. I have a Builder Supply Outlet gift certificate, people. Pay attention!
How much is it for?
$50.
Cool.
True outlet prices every day. Check out the Edge, your state-of-the-art kitchen and bath showroom in Broadview. And now, grand opening in Orland Park. It's even bigger in Orland Park. Really great.
Great.
All right. 19th caller, 312-981-7200. 19th caller, 312-981-7200. Checking in at
number five.
U.S. Supreme Court nominee Neil Gorsuch. Today, I don't know how to pronounce it. Is it Gorsuch or Gorsuch?
Well, it's
been
said both ways. That's what we heard today.
Even the guy, the Washington Post, who sat through the hearings today.
Wasn't sure.
I'm not sure. We're going to find out tomorrow.
Let's hear him say it himself tomorrow, hopefully.
Promised to be neutral and independent as a Senate panel began a divisive four-day hearing. Now, we can call it divisive because we just know it's going to be.
It was set up really well to be that way today, if you listened to any of it. And I know you listened to all of it.
I heard nothing of it, actually, because
it was the other one you heard, Comey.
Yes, the
Comey announcements.
House Permanent Security and Intel Committee, HIPSCI, or whatever it's called. Mm-hmm. Anyway, the point is he also worked to inject his personality into the debate over his nomination. He spoke of his first day on the Denver Federal Appeals Court.
And I'll never forget my first day on the job. Carrying a pile of briefs up the steps to the bench, I tripped
number
on the hem of my robe.
Five.
And just about everything went flying. But troublesome as the robe can be, the robe does mean something to me. And not just that I can hide the coffee stains on my shirt. Putting on a robe reminds us judges that it's time to lose our egos and open our minds. It serves, too, as a reminder of the modest station we judges are meant to occupy in a democracy.
I know what? I'm going to send one to 1600 Pennsylvania Avenue, a robe. Maybe that's what he needs.
Modesty and humility.
I don't wear robes. Remember he said that? Remember he didn't want to wear robes?
And then they showed the pictures of him, like, in the 80s, posing in a robe.
I don't have a robe. We'll get him a robe. That'd be nice.
Former Denver Broncos quarterback John Elway endorses Neil Gorsuch. We'll figure it out.
Maybe that's the only reason he could actually suffer in confirmation is that no one knows how to pronounce his name. Yeah, I think it's going to be a pretty easy pass here.
It
would have to be a cause. It can't just be the politics of the moment that take him down. I mean, there would have to be something and. By all accounts, he seems like a reasonable person. And you never know. You know, it's funny when they bring these people up, especially longstanding jurists who are respected by their colleagues. That's the important thing. If they're respected by their colleagues, then you get people who don't necessarily flow into the political winds, but they actually rule on the merits of a case.
And he does seem to have mutual respect across party lines. But, you know, certain members are saying that he's not one who sticks up for the little guy. You hear Democrats' chief concern with him is that he rules in favor of corporations over the little guy. But that'll be vetted out, and we'll hear his answers about that. So far, he said he's absolutely independent, and he has, in fact, favored little guy, and he sticks to the rule of the law.
Well, according to the Citizens United ruling, corporations are people too.
That's true. They have feelings.
They have feelings. Right. All right. Checking in at
number four.
FBI Director James Comey confirmed to a House Intelligence Committee, the House Intelligence Committee, that the FBI is investigating Russian meddling.
Because it is an open, ongoing investigation and is classified,
I cannot say more about what we are doing and whose conduct we are examining. At the request of congressional leaders, we have taken the extraordinary step, in coordination with the Department of Justice, of briefing this Congress's leaders, including the leaders of this committee, in a classified setting, in detail about the investigation. But I can't go into those details here.
In such a bold move that the FBI did acknowledge they are looking into this, Russian meddling in the election and possibly any ties, potential ties, between the Trump team and the Russians.
Wait, there's more.
Please don't draw any conclusions from the fact that I may not be able to comment on certain topics. I know speculating is part of human nature, but it really isn't fair to draw conclusions simply because I say that I can't comment. Now, some folks may want to make comparisons to past instances where the Department of Justice and the FBI have spoken about the details of some investigations. But please keep in mind that those involve the details of completed investigations.
Yeah. Now, what's interesting here, though, I want to go back. I was watching this all morning, and I was thinking about this one thing, which is that they're now going to go after whoever the leakers are. And they're specifically going to look for the leaker in the Michael Flynn case. Who was in the room when it became clear that Michael Flynn had been heard on they considered this to have been incidental contact, as they like to say, in the NFL. But there was that had been heard on an overhear of the Russian ambassador, and then who brought it to the attention of somebody who then leaked it, right? They're going to go after that, and that person needs to be prosecuted. I wonder this though: if that had not been leaked, would Michael Flynn still be the national security advisor?
It seems like you would think he would be, because he really got in trouble for lying about talking about sanctions with the Russians, even to members of his own team, Vice President Pence amongst them.
And
said he did not know, and that later it came out that, yes, that he did have those conversations.
And that he accepted tens of thousands of dollars from a pro-Russian government agency.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, where does that? I mean, that's that, and that came out subsequent to it. Would that have come out before? Would that have been something to know? And I think it's very interesting that everybody who's gotten close to the Russian orb, all the people that they're talking about here, whether it was during the election cycle. And you have that crazy
Manafort or Roger Stone. You're talking
crazy
about
Roger
guys?
Stone, Manafort, Carter Page, all been fired. As a matter of fact, what's interesting about this too is that Donald Trump did have to remove Manafort, not because so much of the Russian thing came up because he'd worked for a pro-Russian Ukrainian organization, and Roger Stone was never, I don't think, an official member of the campaign. He was always a guy, I just want to help. He's one of those guys.
I'm over here.
Yeah, I'm a volunteer. Let me help. I'll go on TV for you. You're going to love it. But these are people that, you know, had access to the president and obviously had access to other stuff, too. So there was a lot of that. And then Carter Page, who the president denied, actually, was a part of the campaign. And then said, oh, yeah, he's my foreign policy advisor during the campaign. And then they said, well, you know, he's got Russian ties. He's not part of my campaign.
Not part of the campaign.
I didn't say that. You said that. It's so funny you think I would say that.
But to be fair, the FBI, James Comey, the FBI director, did say zero evidence right now linking any member, or zero evidence that there is, you know, a link at this point, and they're going to look into it.
Wait. Not sure that's 100% accurate.
What did he say?
He didn't say that. He said there's zero evidence that there had been a... At this point, there's no evidence, and he did a thorough investigation of the FBI, that there was wiretapping of Trump Tower. But he would not comment.
Oh, zero evidence that Russia hacked any votes in the election, is what I meant to say. That they actually had an impact on changing votes or the electoral, you know, actual electoral process. Direct influence.
In terms of vote totals. But they did attempted to hack into the registration rolls in states.
Mm-hmm.
That they did try to do. But it is said, according to the testimony today, it was unsuccessful. It was caught when they were doing it. But in terms of the whether or not there was collusion, even though that's not a term of art, according to James Comey, a legal term of art, but whether there was cooperation between members of the Trump campaign and Russian officials and knowledge that this was happening, commensurate knowledge and it was not reported, that is still under investigation. He would not comment on it. But that's important to note.
We shall see.
Three, your two, and your one. But first, Violetta Pydermatic's got the WGN traffic trouble spots.
Weather in the first 5 minutes. Watch Chicago's first weather report at 10 p.m. with none other than Tom Skilling, weeknights on WGN TV News at 10.
It is the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis.
Yes.
On WGN.
And
Judy Pilot with the news, Kevin Powell with the sports, and Violetta Pydermatic with the sport, with the sports.
With the dance moves. She's currently dancing. If you're watching on the live stream, check it out.
Yes. I looked up at the screen where we can see her, and I realized she's dancing, and then I said sports. I don't know. Apparently she's
I can do sports.
Please.
No, God.
Yeah. Ask me anything.
It was nice to see the kids down here for the Bacon Fest visited, and then suddenly, boop, they were in the studio.
Well, we came to say hi, and then we realized Bacon wasn't there.
Yeah.
That's what we didn't get enough of
you. But we really just wanted to see you guys. It wasn't about Bacon.
Because it's like a house. Nice. We're down here in the kitchen in the living area, you know, doing our business.
The kids are up in
their room. And the kids are up in their rooms.
Rooms.
And they, you know, Aunt Judy, she's in the other room screaming at us.
Screaming at everyone.
Yeah. You keep it
Why
down.
Why can't everyone be perfect like me?
Keep it down.
Creepy uncle in the basement, and then you have a whole household.
And that's the household right there. That is the household of the Rokan Show with Anna DeVlantis household. It's very dysfunctional.
Number three.
Speaking of dancing, Dancing with the Stars kicks off tonight, season 24.
What?
I know. Well it's been on 12 years, but they do two seasons a year. Mm-hmm. That's how that works. It's very interesting. Everyone from Fifth Harmony member Normani Corday to Charo.
Oh, Charo, I forgot. She's on it.
To Mr. T, who's dancing with Kim Johnson. Prim.
There are some names on that show, though. You're right. Chermofsky. And
yes, I don't know. And I can't pronounce her last name now. She married one of the dancers, and I have no idea how to pronounce
it. Kim Johnson married that guy from Shark Tank.
Hrvek.
Hrvek, yeah, the shark.
Yeah, that guy, yeah. Now, more Mr. T, by the way, born right here in Chicago, as Lawrence Turode. Did you know that?
No, I didn't until I saw it in the Tribune that his house is for sale. I'm like, whose house? Lawrence Turode's house? And then you're like, oh, okay.
Mr. T, fool. Because now when he applied for the mortgage on the house, does he do it as Mr. First name Mr., last name T?
I don't know. I didn't know how that worked. And then, sure, it turns out that Turo is his last name.
He explained why he signed up to do this.
What finally brought me here, because I wanted to give my earnings to the kids at St. Jude Hospital, to the kids at Shriners Hospital for Children, to help them to give back. And that's who I am, you know. So my mother taught me, she said, the blessed of us must try to save the less of us. And I've been blessed by God Almighty, you know, come in and do all this stuff. And a lot of kids haven't had the opportunity to even leave a hospital. They have to be constantly treated, all the medicine, the therapies. So this is my way of giving back, you know.
Good for him.
Yep.
Nice that he makes it about other people and helping them. My prediction, Simone Biles wins it, because it's hard to beat the gymnast, really. And that, unfortunately, Grandpa David Ross out early. I just, you know, I would like to see him go on, but I don't think it's going to happen.
He's out in the first week.
The Cubs put out Take Me Out to the Ballroom, and they're showing all these pictures, getting a lot of mileage out of it early, I think, because we're not sure how long.
Yeah.
Let's do it,
yeah. Let's just
hope he
everybody
makes it.
Should vote for him.
Number two.
A new viral video shows Elmo learning of his firing thanks to President Donald Trump's budget cuts to the National Endowment of the Arts.
Elmo, you're being laid off.
Just like that? Elmo's been working at Sesame Street for 32 years.
Elmo, the Trump administration is gutting all arts and education funding from the new congressional budget.
But Elmo's rent just went up. Elmo hasn't been unemployed since the 80s. Where is Elmo supposed to go? Elmo's only real talent is being Elmo.
have better ratings.
See that? Love Elmo.
Although, you know, here's the thing about Sesame Street. I mean, the PBS funding is a problem. That is going to be a problem for PBS.
Sure.
And
Elmo will go on.
I do not support that. But you don't think they're making some money on those toys?
Mm-hmm.
Are you kidding me? That thing is a cash cow. They should be paying PBS to be on it. Oh, man. All right. And finally, don't tell me. Where are we? Here we go.
Number one.
This is very sad news. And we landed back here at O'Hare on Saturday afternoon, and our phones all lit up. You know, when you land and Chuck Berry was dead. It affected kind of everybody.
It did. We were all talking about it on the plane. 90 years old, but, you know, time to reflect on what he did. It's amazing. What a life.
Indelible guitarist, brash, self-confident, memorable songs, cars, girls, wild dance parties. So it was all about defined rock and roll. Really is one of the inventors of the form, of the medium.
Mm-hmm.
Did he define the potential for rock and roll, but also the attitude that created
so
rock and roll's ubiquitous nature around the world. Mr. Berry was a master theorist and conceptual genius. Songwriter who understood the kids wanted what the kids wanted before they knew what they wanted themselves.
Just let me hear some of that rock and roll music. Any old way you choose it. Got a backbeat you can't lose.
His lines wired the lean twang of country and the bite of the blues into phrases with both a streamlined trajectory and a long memory tucked into lighthearted telegraphic narratives that he sang with such clear enunciation and sly defiance. Who wrote this, by the way?
Who wrote this?
Because I think I have to give them credit because I'm reading somebody else's words completely here.
Sounds great.
And it's not anybody really from this staff. I'm going to tell you that right now.
No? You're sure?
Upending convention to claim the pleasures of the moment. This was as Billboard wrote the obit today.
Riding along in my automobile, my baby beside me at the wheel. I stole a kiss at the turn of a mile. My curiosity running wild.
Chuck Berry was 90 years old.
The top five at five.